Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, radio listeners, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. It was a sad day on December 5th when the world lost a really significant light. And so this show is in tribute to that wonderful light of a man, Nelson Mandela. Before we get started, I'd like to introduce my guest co-host, my wonderful, awesome husband, Raymond. Hi, Raymond.
Hello.
So, from the book that was written on his life, The Long Walk to Freedom by Nelson Mandela, the autobiography, he writes, "Prison and the authorities conspired to rob each man of his dignity. In and of itself, that assured that I would survive. For any man or institution that tries to rob me of my dignity will lose because I will not part with it at any price or under any pressure. I never seriously considered the possibility that I would not emerge from prison one day. I never thought that a life sentence truly meant life and that I would die behind bars. Perhaps I was denying this prospect because it was too unpleasant to contemplate. But I always knew that someday I would once again feel the grass under my feet and walk in the sunshine as a free man. I am fundamentally an optimist. Whether that comes from nature or nurture, I cannot say. Part of being optimistic is keeping one's head pointed towards the sun, one's feet moving forward. There were many dark moments when my faith in humanity was sorely tested, but I would not and could not give myself up to despair. That way lay defeat and death." So that speaks to the optimism that really represented the life of Nelson Mandela. What are your thoughts?
As we were saying earlier, before we got on the radio, was, you know, we know a lot about Mandela, and we know not enough. And, you know, part of it is, you know, who exactly is he, and what got him to such a place in his thinking, in terms of, in essence, he sacrificed his entire life, at least since he was at least 40 years old and until he died, for not himself per se, but for his country and the entire world, for the greater good, almost willing to die. He said he never thought he would die in prison, but that was a reality. That was very real, and I'm sure he had many of opportunities to, for want of a better word, free himself, where they have offered him opportunities that, you know, we'll let you go. Just look the other way. But he chose otherwise. And this is not a biblical story. This happened in our lifetime. This happened now. You know, and I mean, I think that is significant for us as people to realize that, you know, we ourselves play a role here. We ourselves can make a difference in the world. It doesn't have to be at the same magnitude, but every little light that we shine, you know, cuts some darkness somewhere.
You know, I think it's really, I've been really wondering about all the adversities that he went through, all the difficulties, you know, being separated from his family, being incarcerated with, you know, no thought of when or how he would be released, you know, suffering the death of his mother, not being able to go to the funeral, suffering the death of his son and not being able to go to the funeral. Mm-hmm. And I think about how did he survive that?
Right.
How was he able to, what did he use? You know, we talk about on the show about, becoming your better self.
Right.
How was he able to overcome all of that? Because that, all those things, singularly, are difficult things, right?
Right.
But together is that much more difficult. So I wondered, how did he do it? How was he able to remain so optimistic, even without knowing how he would get out? How was he able to make the plan to prepare to lead?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, as he said, there are dark moments in there as well. So I'm thinking, whenever the blessing or the curse was time, where I think wherever he was in his anger, I'm sure in the beginning when he was first thrown in jail and so on, and his thought process wasn't the same 10 years in, 20 years in, almost then at the end 30, almost 30 years in. And he's an educated man. He knows what, I think he knew what he wanted to accomplish. He wasn't probably sure exactly how he would have accomplished it behind bars. But as you said, how did he get there? How did he remain there?
Yeah, how did he remain so positive?
And maybe that's the bigger picture of where he ended up, having traveled all the other anger and frustration and giving up and starting over. And again, he had time. He had time to really get that through his system, and things changed. And granted, no, there were no internet and phone, communication wasn't what it is today, and even so, he was behind bars. But at the same time, as long as I can remember, I knew who he was and knew of apartheid, and I knew the impact of people in South Africa and what it meant. And, and also as a young person, as a young child, recognizing and realizing that there were countries and people who actually supported such a system, leaders of countries like the United States and other countries in Europe and so on supported such a terrible thing,
mm-hmm.
And here was a man alive in jail because of this, and it's still supported. So, he outlived the idea that the evil that they are imposing on him, and more so, which he really would rather talk about, his people, right? Because I think that was his vision. That was what he was about, his people, his country. And, when he was released, you could see that love of country and pride and the idea that, people can get together of all races and be equal, or even, more equal than they were before, because it's still not there yet, but getting there, further along. So, I am actually happy. I'm proud to be alive when he was alive, knowing that, when I was born, he was in jail, and I was a grown man when he was released from prison, and, I'm still alive when he died, and, he's significant to our world, to our continent. It is just important
mm-hmm.
to know.
Mm-hmm. So the question I wonder, though, is...
Mm.
Is it the positive outlook that he cultivated and maintained that allowed him to accomplish all these things? What role did the fact that he remained so positive, so focused, what role did that play in helping him accomplish?
What role did what play exactly?
Is maintaining that positive outlook.
Mm-hmm. What role did that play in
him? How significant was that in helping him? Because like you said, I'm sure there were dark days,
mm-hmm.
right? And he had the opportunity, mm-hmm. To be bribed or to prison or whatever it was, but he didn't succumb to that. So, you know, I'm just kind of thinking about, you know, all these. He wasn't a particularly religious man.
No, didn't get that sense.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't a particular religious man. So it's not like, you know, so he relied on himself, on his own internal strength,
mm-hmm.
you know, to bring him out of that place. You
mm-hmm.
know, and I wonder when we think about him and we think about, you know, him accomplishing all that he has after spending close to 30 years in jail, you know,
mm-hmm.
most of his life, most of what we would consider his productive life in jail. He still comes out and makes a significant impact on the world.
Yeah, I mean, he came out of jail, he was 70 years.
72, yeah.
Yeah, he was in his
yeah.
70s.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, people have retired, you know? People have retired. So, I mean, he went, you know, from his 40s to his 70s, where people are growing careers and looking to retire, where he's still fighting a struggle. Just being behind bars. Forget anything, just being behind bars for a day, a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20, 30, it's a drain on you psychologically, physically, and otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And what we can guess, I think, we can guess a multitude of things in terms of, you know, what kept the energy there, what kept the faith there. You know, I would think it's love of people. Love of his people, love of country, that, you know, and wanting that better country,
mm.
you know. And probably after a while it becomes, well, you know what, I'm this far gone, I can't turn back. You know, I've given up most of my life to this. So if I bail now, it was in vain,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know. And many a man would have bailed long ago and said, all right, fine. I'll take the easy road out and I'll, you know, go off to some other country and be quiet and you'll never hear from me again. I'm sure he had that opportunity. But I think, again, he believed what he believed and he saw it as a possibility. I think that's it, you know, as well, where he saw it as possible, as he said, he never thought of dying in jail. You know, walking out and in the sunshine and grass under his feet, you know, being hopeful.
Well, how different would the world be if he had not stuck to it?
How different would the world be?
Had he caved in or given up or taken an easier road? How different would the world have been? And I wonder, what does that teach us?
How different would it have been? I mean, would apartheid still be in South Africa, maybe not. I mean, I don't want to be narrow-minded and think that he was the only one who fought the cause to such significance. There were others.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of others. There were others in jail with him. I don't know. I think if he had not done this, gosh, this world would have been, one thing for sure, this world would have been different.
Yeah.
Would have been significantly different, probably. Where, you know, maybe apartheid is no longer in South Africa, but it wouldn't have ended when it did. Or, you know, one could make a different argument and say, well, maybe it would have ended earlier. But I think the historical value of Nelson Mandela and what he means to not just South Africa, the African continent, the people of color, and the entire globe, I think is something that needs to be really, truly, not just looked at now that he's passed away and, you know, just the highlights and the one-off this and that, but truly understand him and what it was for him younger, before he got to jail, you know, when he was an attorney and when he was advocating and what got him, you know, there. How he grew up as a child and what motivated him and what kept him there and what his contributions were. What did he actually do?
So are you saying then, are you, I mean, you know, and I'm trying to frame this
mm-hmm.
in a somewhat wider context, you know, in terms of how we as individuals choose to live our lives. And when we think about, are you saying that Mandela chose the moment and made decisions that led him to this greatness, or did the moment choose him? Was he born to this, or did he evolve into this?
My thought, you know, I promised myself that I, you know, ever since his death, I want to read more about him, not just what I heard here on the news or, you know, but really get factual things. But I think, until proven otherwise, I think the moment chose him. I think he became a vessel. I think he was a vehicle through which this was done. He was in the right place at the right time, and he had the right temperament. He had the right vision. I think he, you know.
What distinguished him, Raymond, do you think?
From what?
From his peers, from the other men.
I mean, Stephen, a lot of them died.
Yeah, but there are many of them who are alive.
I mean, many of them are alive. You know, I guess one could make the argument, you know, Martin Luther King. There were others, you know. I don't know.
You know, I'm just thinking about it, because I'm thinking about, you know, that he was able to remain so, identify the bigger purpose, right? So that it wasn't about me and my ego.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, I had a responsibility to not just my family, but to my country, men. And so, you know, to be able to see that, put that in context, and to be able to understand that I must accept this responsibility, that this is my role,
mm-hmm.
And you know, and then to continue that, because it kind of this is how he lived his life, because even after coming out of prison, you know, inviting the jailers to the inauguration,
mm-hmm.
but then serving one term, knowing full well that he could have died as a president of that country.
Right, he could have been president for the rest of his life.
You know?
But then he probably, true to a man, he would have been saying, well, how different would I be? You know? How different would I be where I, in jail, had people who remained in power, you know, and were single-minded in terms of not being a democratic government, where he himself would remain president for as long as he wants, just because. So, yeah, I think he's bigger than, as you said, it's more than just him. It's the country and his people, I think, that was the primary focus.
And so no ego, right? How do you, even after coming out of jail, being declared this global icon, because he has been a global icon for many years. So
yeah.
Even after all of that, how does he manage to not become caught up in the ego, to be caught up in the trappings of it?
I think he's a smart man. Because think about all the other things that he did. I mean, you look at people that he has interacted with, from Bono to President Obama to Oprah Winfrey and other countries, you know, folks from other countries that we don't know of, and think about the impact that on their lives and what they have done as a consequence of meeting him. You know what I'm saying? So him being president, fine. He's president. He says, this is possible, and I'll take it from here. But his role became bigger than the president of South Africa. He became the ambassador, I think, of not just South Africa in Africa, but how to... You know, look at how HIV and how he affected the HIV situation in South Africa, and being able to get folks to be a part of something good. I mean, Oprah Winfrey built a school. What influence did he play in that? I'm sure it did. You know, like I said, Bono, President Obama, people from other parts of the world. So I think his wisdom, his vision, I think not just being at the right place at the right time, that's all well and good, but what do you do with it? You know what I mean? If you're at the right place at the right time, but you have no vision and you have no substance to you, it becomes a wasted moment. And I think that was part of the difference, where he's smart, he was an educated man, he had a vision, and he was able to use, he was charismatic. He was, you know, you look at him and how he, you know, how he carries himself. You know, the movie that they made about, which was the true story about the rugby match,
rugby,
and so on.
Invictus.
Right. Think about the impact of that and the significance of that and how many people. I mean, you're talking about affecting a country like Australia and England and so on. So his reach is way beyond his jail cell and when he was released, way beyond his parliament and his government. I think a lot of what he did in, you know, after he came out of prison and significant things that he did was you know, just being himself and bringing together people to do greater good, you know, in other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's really, when we think about the good that his life example
right.
has encouraged,
right.
you know, I mean, I think that it will probably continue, I don't know, forever perhaps, because, you know... People will be reading about Nelson Mandela for years and years and hundreds of years
right.
to come.
You think his, I mean, I know it's somewhat, you could look at it and say it's apples and oranges, and it would be unfair to make such a comparison or a comment, but just... Go there with me for a second.
Mm.
Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, right? And following the vein of what you're saying, do you think, granted now, listen, Nelson Mandela lived longer. He's more current in our lifetime. He died last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Martin Luther King died, Nelson Mandela was in jail, right? So... But the cause, or as you say, carrying that mantle and doing something, do you think that Nelson Mandela has a greater impact or significance towards that, as opposed to a Martin Luther King, which, you know, his death, granted under the circumstances and how young he was and so on, you know, to many of us might say, well, it's not in my lifetime. I know of it. I appreciate it. I respect it. However, Martin Luther King was then. Nelson Mandela, even though he was in jail before I was born, he is alive during my lifetime. So I see it as a greater significance for me to pick up a mantle and be more akin to what he is asking us to do.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I'm going to say that, and not to diminish anything that Martin Luther King has done, because his significance is tremendous, you know, when you think about civil rights in this country.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the reach of Mandela is just more global.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a more global
right.
reach, you know. So,
yeah.
so I feel like, you know that we ought not to compare them. But that Nelson Mandela, his impact speaks more to him, not only to the political impact, but to also the personal impact, the psychological, emotional impact that he has had as a man for overcoming all that he has and for demonstrating what forgiveness looks like.
Right.
You know, Martin Luther King probably did not have a similar opportunity to do that because his life was cut so short.
Right.
But, you know, it's just really, you know, I just think that that Nelson Mandela's life exemplifies so many things, you know, so many things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that it's really unfair to compare them.
No, I'm not, like I said, I'm not really, but this swell of, you know, energy behind, you know, in his passing and hearing more and more of what he did in his lifetime. And as, you know, as time passes, the opportunity to learn more about him, and I'm sure people will read more about him and get a greater understanding rather than just what you hear on the news, you know, in passing, but actually look for, you know, more factual information. And, you know, I'm hoping that it will...
And read and buy his autobiography.
Right, you know, and stir that conversation in terms of where is the, is there a Mandela in me?
Right. So what's the legacy?
You know,
I guess that's the conversation.
Right. Where is
because
that
what's the takeaway? Yeah, what's the takeaway? You know?
I mean, whoever it might be, it doesn't have to be Nelson Mandela, but at least symbolic in that sense.
But I think for me it is about Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, for me too, but I just want to, you know, it could be someone else or something.
This conversation, you know, I think about people who have been jail or are in jail,
mm-hmm.
and who see their lives as over.
Okay.
Or, you know, people who come out of jail who have felony convictions, say, for example, have a difficult time.
Oh, sure.
You know, and I'm they don't have the opportunities
you
like
can't get a job.
Yeah,
you can't.
But and you don't have the opportunities or the name recognition that Nelson Mandela does.
Right.
But you can at least kind of try to mirror the kind of optimism
mm-hmm.
that he was able to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, that's for me the takeaway, is the significant sense of duty that he had
mm-hmm.
and this sense of that it's bigger than me.
And the sacrifice.
I like that word.
Yeah. I think, right, and I think we can have small moments and they don't have to all be is so significant and over the moon. I think in every one of us, I think, is an opportunity to do something greater than ourselves, to do something for someone or some group or in some way, you know, make a difference. You know, be it your time, it could be your money, it could be your idea, it could be, you know, your physical labor, it could be whatever it might be. You know, to be able to sacrifice.
Right. And I, you know what, to kind of identify, yeah, what is it that I want? What's my goal? Because I think for Nelson Mandela, it was about, we've got to get the scourge of apartheid out of our land. And so everything was kind of focused on that, but without doing it in a vindictive or, you know, hurtful way.
Right.
So, you know.
But gosh, look how long it took, eh?
It did take a long time. But then I think that's what speaks to the you know, to that sense of purpose,
yeah.
You know, which is one of the words
we
use.
That's hard,
so,
you know.
It is hard. It is hard. So, you know, we're going to say goodbye, dear.
Mm.
And Barack Obama delivered what I thought was an amazing speech. Tribute
yes.
to Nelson Mandela. So we'll end with that. So let's say goodbye while I read us out.
Bye-bye.
He speaks to what is best inside us. After this great liberator is laid to rest, when we have returned to our cities and villages, and rejoined our daily routines. Let us search then for his strength, for his largeness of spirit, somewhere inside ourselves, and when the night grows dark, when injustice weighs heavy on our hearts, our best laid plans seem beyond our reach, think of Madiba and the words that brought him within the four walls of a cell. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged the punishments, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. What a great soul it was. We will miss him deeply. May God bless the memory of Nelson Mandela. May God bless the people of South Africa. Peace and blessings.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and blessings.